Hello and welcome to the National Trust Podcast. I'm Pippa Tilbury-Harris, Assistant Podcast Producer at the National Trust. Whilst we prepare to launch Season 5, we're revisiting some of our favourite episodes from the archives. This time, we're revisiting Episode 42 from 2018, when Ranger Kate Martin headed to Northumberland's Farne Islands to take part in their yearly puffin count. We follow Kate as she gets up close and personal with the clowns of the sea, learns the importance of hats, and that some puffins can act in a rather promiscuous way.
Currently striding along the breakwater here at Sea Houses Harbour to try and get the boat out to the farms. Boats just slowed down to a halt, and just all around us now there are the backs of bottlenose dolphins breaking the wave. We're seeing obviously the big dorsal fin and then the lovely grey back and then the blowholes shooting. Really beautiful. It's always really special to see dolphins. It's always a real, real treat.
There's some behind us, some to the right, some ahead of the boat. Just keep an eye out for that. Thank you.
See the Farne Islands now starting to appear in front of us. At low tide there's well over 20 islands, although some of them are very, very small. Most of the time you're probably looking at about 14, 15 islands that are actually sort of visible. But there are a real variety on the actual farms itself. You've got little tiny rocky outcrops and then obviously ones that are much bigger that have got grass and meadowland on top. And that's why it's such a fantastic place for wildlife, because again, like the rest of the areas we've been looking at here at Northumberland Coast, there are so many varieties of habitats in small places, which means that so many different species can live alongside each other in these amazing areas. Stepping off the boat here at the Farnes, you are greeted by a cacophony of noise. It sounds like, I think, probably like a children's birthday party when they've all had jelly and ice cream, they're utterly high as a kite and they're all running around screaming. And that's pretty much what you can hear. And majority of that sound is the Arctic terns. And I've got a hat on, I've got my hood up, and it's really important if you're coming to the farms this time of year that you do that, because the Arctic terns nest really close to the path. As we're walking up here, I can literally see them. They're right by my feet nesting. And they are pretty feisty. They like to let us know they're here. So you can probably just hear scuffing sounds. And that's actually the birds diving and pecking my head as we're going along. So if you really don't like things flying towards your head, May, June is not a good time to come to the Farne Islands.
Hi there, my name's Harriet Reed, and I'm ranger on the Farne Islands.
Hi Harriet, how are you?
I'm grand, and yourself?
Not so bad. It's a nice noisy day on the farms today then.
It is. It's the usual amount of noise at this time of the day.
Fantastic. So obviously there's lots of Arctic terns nesting around where we are, but the thing we're particularly interested in is the lovely puffin. They are very small little black and white birds.
And quite a red bill, really cute.
So we believe that 2018 is a really important year because it's one of the years of the counts, the big 5-year count. So how's that been going so far?
Yes, the puffin census has been going well so far. It's a count that we do every 5 years. And initial results have come back that we're about 12% decline. But it's still ongoing, so hopefully we'll get a few better results in the coming weeks.
Were they a little bit late coming in this year because of sort of there was a slightly longer winter than we usually have?
Yes, the majority of them were a bit later due to harsh weather at the beginning of the season. A lot of them came in later, but a few of them did start early because we have actually had the odd puffling. So pufflings are young puffins.
Is there anything cuter than a puffling?
Oh, I don't think so. They're adorable.
I mean, all the puffins we're seeing on the island here are adults. also like other seabirds, so they only come back to land once they're at sexual maturity.
Yeah, so they'll come back when they're about 4 years old to breed.
And the rest of the time, in that period, I guess they're just rafting out on the sea.
Yes. Well, the puffins spend 9 months of the year out in the North Atlantic and then only come to land for 3 months of the year in order to breed.
They must be so tough.
Yeah, very hardy birds, the puffin. Very hardy birds.
And quite long-lived, I believe, as well. They don't, you know, they're not sort of, like obviously some small birds sort of come and go within 5 years. These guys can live decades.
Yeah, they can live to be in their 30s, definitely.
My name's Diana. It's something I've always wanted to do, and see the puffins in particular. We live quite a long way from here, so a couple of hundred miles, so we've come up here, especially.
So what is it about puffins? Why puffins? Why? What's so special about them?
My father was posted to the Shetlands during the war and always told me about the puffins, and so I just wanted to see them for myself.
Obviously, a lot of puffins around. Do they mate for life?
A lot of them do mate for life, but there are the occasional ones who don't wait for their mate to come back.
Oh, that is shocking. What happens if their mate does come back?
Hopefully they both get a new mate.
So they nest on the same in the yes. same area every year?
A lot of them will come back to the same area.
There is an eider wandering towards us, and I just adore eider ducks. There's a male and a female. They're quite big ducks, eiders. They're sea ducks, essentially. Obviously famous for eider downs, which is the very, very lovely, warm sort of inner feathers off the chest of the female eider that she pulls off to then put round and coat round her nest to keep it nice and warm for the babies. And obviously then people used to gather it and put it into duvets, as we see now. There is a male and a female. The female, she's quite drab, I suppose. Actually, she's quite beautiful if you get up close to her, but she is very browned, kind of brindled. But the male he's truly spectacular. So he's white on the back, he's got black on his flanks, and he's got sort of black head and a sort of bluey cream colour on his beak. I'm guessing you probably get quite a lot of eiders here, do you?
Yes, we will get quite a few nesting alongside the boardwalk as well. The males won't stick around so much. They'll wait until the females lay the eggs and then they'll head back towards the harbour area. Yeah, and then we have had quite a few ducklings.
There's a little pool just to the side of us here, and just at the far end of it, there is, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 eider ducklings. They are just so cute. They are tiny little balls of fur. They're not too dissimilar, really, from mallard ducklings, except they don't have that yellowy colour. They're sort of a dark chocolate brown, but they are absolutely beautiful. And they've probably had a fantastic time in their nest, being all snuggled into their mum's feathers. They're absolutely beautiful. Oh, it's nothing quite like a baby duckling, is there? There is a cacophony of sound on the island with hundreds of birds of all different varieties sort of running around and flying about, but it's not like this all year round, is it?
No, so about mid-April to about mid-July is kind of the peak and when we're going to have the most birds on the island. But then after that, a lot of the birds will leave by the end of July.
There's loads of people on the island with us today. It's obviously a really popular place for visitors to come, but we are on an island. So how do people come and visit?
People get to the island by taking a boat trip on one of the four boat companies that lands on the islands.
Do they go out sort of daily? I mean, obviously weather dependent.
Yes, there'll be daily trips every day from May until October.
A lot has changed since 2018, so we caught up with Ranger Harriet Reed to learn about the results of the 2018 count and find out how the island's puffin colony are faring in 2021. Hi Harriet, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
So last time we spoke to you was in 2018 and you were in the middle of the puffin count and it was looking like the puffin numbers were on decline. Have things improved since then?
Yes, things did improve after we finished the surveying of the puffin burrows, and we finished our calculations and found that there was actually an increase of 10%. And then since then, we actually changed the methodology. And instead of doing it every 5 years, we now do it every year because we thought it would give a clearer picture of the trends that the population was going through. In 2019, the results we got were 43,752 occupied burrows, which is a little bit less than the previous year. So in 2018, we had 43,955 occupied burrows. It's not a large decrease. It's quite a stable decrease. The difference is quite small.
And how are things in 2020?
Due to COVID-19, we focused on the larger three islands. I think we did the best that we could considering. I mean, we couldn't live out on the island, and that's what we usually do. Over the last 3 years, I spent more time on the island than I had on the mainland. And if you're not on the island in the morning and in the evening, there's things you miss in terms of birds which come through. Also, it limited the number of people we could have on the island. So overall, we did the three main islands, and we found that the Inner Farne Island, which is the largest island, had a small decrease, but is stable. One of the outer group islands had a small increase, and then the other outer group island had a decrease, which was a reasonable decrease. So it's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on.
So were there any positive effects from COVID-19? You know, we're aware of the great anthropause now and have seen examples of animals venturing to places they normally wouldn't because of reduced human activity. So did you see anything similar happen on the islands with the puffins?
On the Inner Farne, it definitely looked like they were spreading out a bit and taking advantage of the fact that nobody was on the boardwalk, so they were probably playing on the boardwalk a bit more, probably digging their burrows a bit more on the boardwalk, which is now covered in more mud than usual. But during the season, I think they secretly quite like posing for photographers, but that might just be how it looks. So maybe they missed a bit of the attention.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the National Trust podcast. We'll be launching season 5 soon, but in the meantime, you can continue to enjoy episodes from the archives by visiting nationaltrust.org.uk/podcasts.